Привіт, Валерія.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm okay. I will share with everyone that this is the first time Maxim and I are doing also Ukrainian spaces from the same flat but in two different rooms. So it's quite funny. But it's nice to be doing this with everyone and it's nice to be back on Twitter spaces.
Yeah, and it's been kind of a wild ride in between, because after we finished season two, we did our first live audience show in Prague with actual people, seeing actual faces, seeing actual reactions, and bringing our favorite people we love interview all the time for it. And it's been a huge sold out successful event, and it only happened thanks to our Patreon family. And you know, it was a very special moment, and I partially recorded that live audience show we released as first episodes of season three. We also did lots of cool stuff for our Patreon family. We relaunched our Patreon page with new tiers and with a lot of bonus content specifically for our Patreon family. So if you're not part of it, but you love our mission amplifying diverse Ukrainian voices and decolonizing Ukrainian conversations, please do check out what we have to offer and join us there.
And just to say that if you want to hear some of the kind of behind the scenes slash the question parts of our live show that we kicked off season three with, also become a patron and you'll have access to even more stuff from our live shows, which we'll have hopefully many more of in the next few months.
Yeah, so but there is a thing about season three that it's different, and we were, you know, talking and trying to figure out exactly what the message we want to send with this one, because the first one was about, what the hell, the first one was about just we started very haphazardly in chaos and in genocide and in trauma, and just we're sharing and amplifying Ukrainian stories, as many as possible. And then for season two, we wanted to connect Ukrainian allies as well, and to show why so many people, the insane amount of people from all around the world, reached out to us and reached out to Ukrainians and offered help and solidarity. So what is different for about season three, Valeria?
So as many of you know, we do speak a lot about sort of the consequences of Russian colonialism on Ukraine, on our own identities. And that's been sort of a repeating theme and an overarching theme for a lot of the work that we've been doing. Partially the reason why we've decided to only focus on Ukrainian voices, Ukrainian experts, because of this frustration that, you know, usually it's not Ukrainians who speak about Ukraine. And so we really decided that it's time in season three, it's been, you know, over a year since the full-scale invasion, it's time to sort of take a step forward and talk a little bit more specifically about our personal journeys of discovering ourselves and our identities and the process of decolonizing ourselves and the tools that we have been using to do that, and the stories that we've discovered and have been able to reconnect with in this process. So each episode we'll be talking with different people, different guests who have different perspectives on the way that this process of decolonization has changed their lives in the past 12 months. And I guess it will be interesting to see. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people will say that it has actually, the last 12 months have sped up our willingness to decolonize ourselves as well. So that is going to be season three.
And of course, I think nothing will change in terms of our primary goal, and it's always amplify as many diverse Ukrainians and Ukrainian voices as possible. But I'm very excited about this third season because I feel like we can invite even larger amount of people to join us on this journey because, the whole term decolonization could be, sometimes perceived as a bit heavy or misunderstood. But for me personally, I think it's always been about taking back control over my own narrative and knowing what is my story and where I come from and where my roots are. And unfortunately, what colonialism does to you personally as a person is destroying a lot of those roots and connections and making you very confused and disoriented, not knowing why you speak the language you speak, where you come from, why you look the certain way. And all these issues are very important, integral to understanding who you are. And we were robbed of this by colonialism in many ways. So I think this is a conversation that can bring home for a lot of people who are not maybe into definitions as per se.
Maxim, would you like to? I just wanted to ask before we go to our guest. I was just wondering because, of course, a lot of things changed in our own perceptions of ourselves and our identities and our connection to Ukraine. But I was just wondering, where are you right now in your own journey of decolonization, and how do you feel, and what do you feel you've learned?
I think it's a journey, and of course there are so many elements to it. I mean, we've been talking about it through two seasons so much with our featured Ukrainians and between you and I. And of course there must be an element of figuring out your roots and the language issue and the feeling proud for who you are or trying to learn more about your history. So there are many aspects, and it's a very multifaceted journey for everyone. But I think at this moment in my life, I feel like process of decolonization or taking back control over my own story, my own narrative, and figuring out where it starts and what it is about is mostly about confidence. Like I can tell you for sure that in the last year, there's so much confidence back about me saying that I'm Ukrainian. And if before it was really linked to something that I would say self-degrading or even something I would be ashamed of to tell people that I'm from Ukraine or I'm Ukrainian or not even knowing what Ukrainian means. So a year into this genocide, it's obvious for me when I say Ukrainian, I know what I mean. And I know the set of values that these words represent. And I know where it comes from. And I know, unfortunately, the price that we are all paying for Ukrainians and for Ukraine to exist. And I think for me, this is at this moment, it's about confidence and about being proud who you are. But of course, it's different for different people as well. So what is it for you? I mean, especially in the last year, what it means for you at the moment, Valeria?
Yeah, I think I'll be quite. I guess I'll tell you about a story, a practical thing I'm doing right now to get me closer to understanding a little bit more about my identity. But I moved from Ukraine when I was 13, and ever since I've lived abroad. And this year has been really important for me because it really made me reconnect with Ukraine, with my Ukrainian identity, with my Ukrainian background. And so I just came back from visiting Kyiv for a week. And I don't know why, but I just felt whilst I was there that there was a big gap of my knowledge of in my knowledge of Ukrainian history. And history has always been so important for me. I studied in university all throughout kind of my academic career life, whatever you can call it. And so I'm actually going to start classes in Ukrainian history. And I'll be telling you more about what I discover as I go along. But I've found someone who is going to help me understand and learn and analyze, I guess, Ukrainian history, because I missed all that, school education and in terms of Ukrainian history in itself. And I think it's just really important for us to know a little bit more about ourselves in that aspect. So I'll keep you posted, but I really thought that it was time for me to do something like an action, an active action that would bring me closer to understanding myself and to understanding Ukrainian history in that way. So that's, yeah.
That's very badass. And the only books I read these days are all history books, and a lot of them are written by Ukrainian authors. And my husband hates it, and he thinks that's like the most boring thing that one can possibly do. But for me, it's even the books that I read at some point before, now they have so much different meaning, and I enjoy them in such a different level. So it's definitely, you know, something divide that I really share.
Yeah. But
I think it's time for us to introduce our featured Ukrainian for this episode. And I think her story fits absolutely perfectly for our main topic for season three. And I'm a personal fan of, you know, her work and the incredible things that she's doing. But as our golden rule states on Ukrainian Spaces, our featured Ukrainians always introduce themselves absolutely the way they want to introduce themselves, and being in control of that. So, Maria, hello and welcome to Ukrainian Spaces. Welcome. Congratulations also on joining our family officially, formally. So please tell everyone else who you are, where you come from, and maybe a little bit how your life has changed since genocide started in Ukraine.
Hello, everyone. To start with, thank you so much for having me on Ukrainian Spaces. I've been a big fan since you guys started, so I'm very honored to be here today. My name is Maria Gershova, and I am from Dnipro, Ukraine. It's central Ukraine. It's a lovely place. I spent there 17 years of my life, and then I moved abroad. So today's intro, I'll start with saying I'm a Jewish Ukrainian in diaspora, which is important to understand. And I moved to Poland, Krakow. Interesting choice. A lot of Ukrainians moved there to study international military conflicts. Because since 2014, when Russia invaded Ukraine, I was wondering, how does it happen? Why does it happen? Why is it happening to us? So I joined the university, and I graduated, got my bachelor, and, you know, learned a lot. And since then, I've been living in Poland for 5 years now, beautiful country. Recently, 9 months ago, I started to work for a Jewish community and became a director of Ukrainian engagement in the Jewish community of Poland, Hillel Poland. And it's been an amazing ride because we support Ukrainian refugees, Ukrainian Jewish refugees, Ukrainian Jewish community. And it is the moment to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be Ukrainian and Jewish? So I'm hoping today we could discover it all together and I could share my story. But yeah, this is a little bit about myself. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. And I can't wait to get into that conversation as well. So straight away, I just wanted to ask you, why does talking about Ukrainian and Jewish culture and Ukrainian Jewish culture help you right now in this year, in the past 12 months?
Well, because since the invasion, since the genocide started, I think a lot of people, including me, ask themselves, who am I and what is happening? Because a lot of Russian propaganda was also included Jewish people, if we remember. And the Nazi narrative and all of this classic Russian propaganda included Jewish people as well. So it was a wake-up call for me to start identifying Jewish Ukrainian even more. So that's one side of it. And the other side of it is international community and how they perceive you. Whenever you tell, I'm Ukrainian Jewish, what do they think about? What they gonna do with this information? That's why, you know, I've been working to change this narrative. I've been working to tell a different story since the invasion. I've been trying to cultivate this new identity of Ukrainian Jews and provide this to, of course, my members at my workplace, because this is my community, this is my job.
But it's it's also partially bizarre, right? That there is still so much, especially for someone from abroad, there's still so much revolving around anti-Semitism and, you know, Ukrainian being Nazis, disinformation narrative that it's out there. And even if you point out that Ukraine has its thriving community, Jewish community, and even our president is, you know, probably Jewish, but still there is a lot of pondering on this disinformation message. And in a recent interview, you actually said that there's a lost generation of Ukrainian Jews because Russia tried to erase the Jewish culture in Ukraine and throughout other colonies. And there was so much anti-Semitism, and yet the community resurrected its Jewishness in this beautiful, innate way. So how do you try to teach people to recognize their Jewishness and celebrate it within, you know, their Ukrainianness? And maybe, do you think the war and genocide actually reignited this awareness within your community in a way?
Yes, absolutely. Firstly, great question. Secondly, I think that the identity has shifted for sure, for me personally as well, because, well, I switched to Ukrainian language 6 years ago, and that's what I always wanted to do, you know, cultivating this Ukrainian culture in me, raising something that I did not have. I think we need to start from history here. Russian propaganda tells us that, you know, Germany, Holocaust, we should remember how horrible it was, but Russia did everything to save the Jewish culture all the time, which is, you know, it is factually wrong, because Soviet Union proved to show that it absolutely eliminated Jewish identity and culture. People stopped identifying as Jewish to survive, as my grandfather, for example. He was an engineer and he couldn't get into university because they had quota on Jewish people in the Soviet Union, and not more than five in class at the university. So I think it's very important here to start with history and with fighting this Russian propaganda in our lives. We are not the followers of this, you know, Russian Jewish culture. We are Ukrainian Jews, which is completely different thing, completely different background here. So what I've been trying to do is to remind that to myself, and I always tell this beautiful story from my family that I share with people. So when my father is Jewish, when he was small, he asked his father if he could sign a paper for him at schools he would stop learning Ukrainian language. Because till 1970s, you had the ethnicity on your passport. So he asked if that is possible, because it was written that he is Jewish. And my grandfather said, while you're on this ground, I want you to respect this country. You must know the language. You must know the culture. And you must have respect for these people. And I never want to hear it again, what you just said. So I was raised with this story in my soul. And I always wanted to cultivate respect. And then when we moved to democratic Ukraine, I wanted to cultivate the broader Ukrainian identity. Regardless of your ethnic background, you're Ukrainian. This is your choice. The set of values and culture is yours. Just take it.
You know, we've been talking a lot over the past few seasons about the importance of our family histories. And I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about when you became interested in, for example, your grandfather's story, your father's story, and how you, through their stories, discovered yourself?
Okay, so I always knew I'm Jewish, but here comes a different question, which is a question of within Jewish community question. If you don't have a Jewish mother, religiously, according to Orthodox Judaism, you're not Jewish to start with. There's obviously is Reform Judaism that accepts patrilineal Jewish people. So I always felt a little bit outside because my mom is not Jewish, and I didn't want to, you know, risk entering the community and people saying, you're not Jewish enough. But my grandma, and my mother, my father, she would tell me, Maria, you're Jewish. No one can take it away from you. No one's gonna count the percentage in your blood. This is your culture. Go take it. This is your family story. Your family survived through Holocaust. You are Jewish. It's undeniable. So she cultivated that in me and gave me this power to be vocal about it. And then I grew up and I joined a local Jewish community. I went on a birthright to Israel. And then I started to be very active in the Jewish community that is reform, that accepts me. But it is still a daily challenge. So I always knew I am Jewish and I always knew that I really enjoy this culture. But also the issue here was the Russian narratives within Ukrainian Jewishness. Of course, it is changing now, but it used to be, okay, if you're Jewish, then you listen to this Russian Jewish songs, you follow this, you know, more of a Russian-leaning cultural narrative. And I did not want that. I never wanted that. I never wanted to just speak Russian, and I never wanted to be a part of that culture. So I started to learn history, investigate, and just create something on my own, basically. Because 6 years ago, you know, majority of Jewish people that I personally met, they spoke Russian and they, you know, Ukraine, great, cool, but I don't think I can relate to it. So I had to create it on my own, which was really weird sometimes. And now since the genocide started, a lot of people woke up, as I call it, and understood that they're Ukrainian Jews and they can speak Ukrainian and relate to that culture and discover themselves. So that's what I've been doing as well. But it's been a work of 6 years, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. But I find it exceptionally powerful when you mentioned that, you know, the Jewishness that was defined by Russia and Russian colonialism for many decades. And it kind of echoes with sentiments that maybe that I have, like with the taking back control of your Ukrainianness as well, and not allowing your oppressor to define what is proper way to be Ukrainian, what is proper way to be Jewish, what is proper way to be Crimean Tatar, Georgian, which is something that the colonial empire has been doing to us for generations. But I also wanted to, maybe you can help us and help the audience to understand, when it comes to finding your Jewish home within Ukraine and finding your Ukrainian home within Jewish community, what's usual the struggle that people face? Like, what is something that people do not realize, how you marry it and how you find home within the both identities, which in your case, that's something that you managed to do, and then trying to educate others why it's the way to go.
So I think it's important to start here from a perspective of different people on this issue to understand it deeper. Whenever I meet before the war, whenever I would meet my American friends or colleagues and tell them I'm Ukrainian and Jewish, they would be very confused, because how can you identify with someone who took part in Holocaust? And this is something that people talk about and think about, and that's normal to discuss it. It's fair. It's a very challenging topic still to this day. But how can you identify with someone who did that? And then I would tell these people, well, this is a struggle, obviously, but there were Ukrainian people, a lot of them, who died protecting Jewish people, who contributed to Jewish culture, who were a neighbor, a good neighbor for Jewish people. And also, I am ethnically Ukrainian as well. So I tell them that this is a work in progress and that we're creating these new identities, discovering the history. So I would say step one in this challenging process is to learn the history of your own family and Jewish people around you, because there are great stories with both Jewish people and Ukrainian people together. This will give you power to speak freely about being Ukrainian Jew. That's number one. Number two, it's actively participate in the communities of your cities and tell everyone who you are and what you do exactly. So whenever I meet people, I tell them right away, I'm Ukrainian Jewish. And they're surprised sometimes they're not, but you make a statement and people are gonna remember it, people are gonna tell other people, and this is how you know, the new culture is being created. And I would say the step number three for me would be learning more of both Ukrainian history and Jewish history, because they have a lot of similarities. And you can find strength, power, and knowledge in this. I would just say knowledge is power. I know it's, well, pretty popular phrase, but this is it in this case. Knowledge is power. Learn about Ukrainians, learn about Jews, and go spread it around. Talk about it. Never be silent about who you are.
Yeah, and you know, I remember when I started learning about the history of Jewish community in Ukraine, and that unfortunately wasn't so long time ago. And because again, so much of our history was rewritten or erased, it's very hard to get down to the actual what happened. But of course, our history for Jewish community in Ukraine is very long, but also very traumatic and very violent. And I remember that I started learning it during the Maidan Revolution, because actually so many people from Ukrainian Jewish community joined in the Maidan Revolution, and we fought together shoulder by shoulder. And in those moments, you started sharing stories and trying to understand each other. And that was one of the most beautiful moments for me when I first started rediscovering Ukraine for myself, that despite all this very hard, traumatic, messed up history that linked our communities, we still not only fight for our own land and country together, we also find this capacity to learn more, to understand, to heal, to kind of find the, you know, the common ground. And I think that was like a very beautiful moment as well for me personally.
And I think it's just so beautiful as well that you really, in what you were saying, like, you know, looking backwards in order to really think about the future and the hope about, you know, developing your own understanding of yourself, your identity. It's just, it's really beautiful to hear. And I was just, you said that, you know, you started on this journey 6 years ago to understand yourself a little bit more, but I don't know if this is a bit too much of a philosophical question, but how do you see yourself maybe, you know, 6 years from now with the lessons you've learned in the past 6 years or during these 12 months of that kind of like sped up everything that we were already doing before in terms of discovering and decolonizing our own views on our identities?
That's a great question. So I think in 6 year time, I see myself being even more confident in my identity, because this is a work in progress and we all understand that. You need to not only accept and learn about yourself, but go through all of this propaganda that has been bred in you for a couple of centuries, you know, at least. And I really hope that in 6 years I'll be able to be even more confident and not be afraid to speak, especially about being Jewish through my father. I hate saying that. That is just sounds ugly. I am Jewish. It's regardless of who from my parents is Jewish. But I have to tell it to people, because there are a lot of Ukrainian Jews who have Jewish fathers, and they're afraid to speak about it because they don't feel Jewish enough. This is a real, real big issue. So I hope if someone with this Jewish roots is listening to me right now, I want to give this message that you're enough, you're Jewish enough. There is no I am Jewish 20%. There's no I'm Jewish 50%. There's I am Jewish. And you can be Jewish in Ukrainian in this way, in Ukraine in this way. So I think it's a very important message. In 6 years, then again, I want to keep being proud of who I am and learn more. Learn through this difficult conversations with both Ukrainian and Jewish people and foreign people who are helping us and learning more about us. And in 6 years, whenever I talk to my foreign colleagues and friends, I want them to know everything about Ukrainian Jews, and not, it wouldn't be a surprise for them when I tell them there's 300,000 of Jewish people in Ukraine. and that Dnipro has the biggest Jewish center in Europe, second in the world, it wouldn't be a surprise for them because they would already travel there at that point.
Yeah, as a boy who was raised in Zaporizhia, and I've been to Dnipro so many times, and you know, in that way, I'm a bit lucky because I was exposed to this beauty, which is the Jewish heart of Dnipro, from very early age. And you know, it is indeed such a beautiful place to visit, for sure. Once, especially genocide is over, and hopefully Dnipro will stand strong and be even more beautiful after that. But you know, I really wanted to ask you this one question about related to your activism, because you help people a lot, and you also so outspoken and eloquent about, you know, your own journey of figuring out your Ukrainian Jewishness and Jewish Ukrainianness. But you probably come across a lot other Jewish people from other countries these days, and they reach out and you know whatnot. What is the most, you know, kind of mind-boggling or interesting or, you know, challenging maybe when you try to speak about your Jewishness to them and some of the misconceptions or misunderstanding that you get in those contexts? Because, you know, I bet it happens a lot. And this is another aspect that probably would be very interesting for our listeners, especially those who represent Jewish communities from other parts of the world.
So let's start from a good observation that I had recently. I was in Texas for the job conference, and it was a Jewish conference, huge one. And I met a lot of Jewish people there, American Jewish people. And one guy approached me and we started to talk. And I was like, where were your Jewish parents or Jewish ancestors come from? What is happening there? And he told me they're actually Ukrainian. And you know, before the war, I used to say they're just from ex-Russian Empire. But now I tell that they're not only Ukrainian, but they're from this specific Ukrainian village. And he named it. I was shocked because it's a big switch. It's a big shift for us because people understand and value it now. A lot more people start to rediscover their identities and their family stories in a different way, more detailed way, with a different context now. And then he said, I cannot wait for Zelensky to allow double citizenship. I would be honored to get Ukrainian citizenship. This is absolutely unbelievable. If I would meet someone just, let's say, 5 years ago, they would be like, yeah, Ukraine, place where they, you know, were killing my ancestors. That was it. There was a limit. And now there's a big discussion, big shift, and I was very happy about it. That's number one. And when it comes to maybe issues or something that I still cannot understand, so I gave a couple of interviews, and one interview was very interesting that showed also a different side of the invasion and how it influenced people. Because people who had anti-Ukrainian views, it only doubled for them. So I had a couple of journalists over, and they wanted to ask me more about Ukrainianness and Jewishness and everything altogether, how it works out. And I started to tell them, but they were like, I don't think there's a future. I don't think there's a future for Ukrainian Jews. I think they should all leave because this Nazism is still progressing. So I think that people should be open to conversations. Of course, only if you want to be smart about it and you want to learn more, they should be open to hear Ukrainian Jews and what they have to say, because they're gonna be talking a lot, I think, and they are already talking a lot. You need to be very open-minded about it and just take it as it is, because if you put history on it, we will not go far, in my opinion. We should remember what happened, of course, and it's fair, but we should also make a step forward. It's time for that.
Thank you so much. If there was one thing that you wanted our listeners to go away today with remembering from our conversation around, I guess, your identity, your journey, or Ukrainian sort of intersection of discovering your Ukrainianness and your Jewishness at the same time, what would that one thing be?
Great question. Great question. There's so many things in my mind every day that I would really want to share. But I would say one thing. I really want everyone to value this new identity Ukrainian Jewish people are building. It's going to be Ukrainian speaking, Ukraine influenced only, no Russia leaning identity, and take it as it is. And we are creating now a new Ukrainian identity as well. Whether regardless you're Crimean Tatar or you're Jewish, you're still Ukrainian and that's your choice. And I think people should understand that this is a big shift and it's going to be keep on changing very fast from now on. And we need to be respectful and we need to be open about it.
Thank you. I also really want to ask a very similar question, but with another twist. And you talked about a lot how you rediscovered and you are rediscovering your own family history. And like for me personally, there are so many aspects of my complicated identity that always enrich my Ukrainian identity in many ways. Like they never clash, especially in the last year when you kind of become more proud of who you are and more accepting where you come from. They never clash, they enrich each other. And I love all of them. Roma or Georgian or whatnot. But for you personally, what about your Jewishness kind of enriches and makes it even more homey feeling about your Ukrainianness? If you know what I mean, if you can pinpoint something like that. It can be a personal like story or an aspect. It doesn't have to be something conceptual, something that, makes you feel home in Ukraine better because you're Jewish?
I would say definitely my city. My city is very Jewish. Because before Holocaust happened, almost 40% of people from Dnipro, they were Jewish. So we still have a lot of Jewish people in Dnipro, and it's a very Jewish city in a way that if you say you're Jewish, people are not surprised. They're like, okay, well, this guy's Jewish or this guy's Jewish. And what makes me feel at home whenever I'm passing by the street and I see a guy, a barista in kippah, just pouring coffee near the sign "Glory to Ukraine," and that's just normal. No one is surprised passing by seeing that. That gives me a lot of comfort in my identity, my city, and the way it built, and the way Jewish people interact and create the new culture in it. It always been my safe place, I would say, and safe space in my city. I really, truly recommend everyone to visit it, and especially a Jewish people from abroad, because I think it's a very special experience for a lot of people. Jewish life in Europe is dead. It is not. And it is pretty much life in Dnipro.
Really small, quick question. And I think it's more of a question for internal Ukrainian audience. And I know that a lot of Ukrainians are always listening to us as well. And of course, I think it's more internal conversations because there are a lot of complicated, traumatic chapters in the story for Jewish community living inside Ukraine and also between Ukrainian community and Jewish communities as well. And let's be honest that we really didn't have enough time or enough space to discuss it even within ourselves and, you know, process it. And I really appreciate that you pointed out that we also need to think about future and building something where we see all of us together, no matter of our backgrounds, in one united home of Ukraine. But for you, I mean, I understand that the capacity is limited and it's not sometimes the time for to dig deeper. But for you these days, how do you find, how do you approach this issue when especially foreigners reaching out to you and say, well, you know, you must know that Jewish people were poorly treated in Ukraine throughout the history. How can you be so proudly Ukrainian having that history, you know, knowing that history? What would you usually respond to these kind of questions?
I tell them the story about how my family were evacuated from Dnipro when Holocaust started. And when I learned about this history just a couple of years ago, randomly, honestly speaking, because I reached out to my aunt in Israel and she told me this horrifying situation because there were a lot of family members and they were all in this evacuation train. And Nazis were bombing this train. So people, whenever the bombing would start, they had to leave it and then come back. And once they left, they left my great-grandma inside, and this is how she died. Very heartbreaking story. And when the invasion started, I read so many similar horrifying stories. And I tell them, this is what I and my family have been through, and we keep on going through this. So I think right now my voice is very important. So I'm really asking you from the bottom of my heart right now, just listen to me, because this is very important at the moment. And I know that the history of Holocaust was horrible and probably your ancestors had to leave, but this is what we're going through at the moment, just with very similar to what your ancestors been through. It's horrible genocide. So please be empathetic to that. And empathetic to people's experience, Jewish people who stayed in Ukraine after Holocaust, which was incredibly, incredibly horrible to go through this hell of Soviet Union. And I understand why a lot of people left, but my family stayed and went through this horrible thing to the very end. And my father decided to stay right now because he told me that I would protect my house from Russians with a gun and I'll shoot each and every one of them if they come closer. And I was really proud of them because he had a chance to leave, but he stayed, as my grandfather stayed, everyone stayed. So hear me out, hear my story, and just respect it. There is no discussion without respect.
This is unbelievable, and we're just so grateful for your honesty and, you know, your strength in talking about all of this. We're just extremely grateful that you're with us here today and you're sharing with everyone else your unique perspective on your identity. So we're very, very grateful to you for that. I wanted to ask you as well, and you've spoken about this briefly already, but, you know, it's sometimes, you know, we all actually, because everything is happening all at once and our lives have, you know, in the last 12 months before that, keep changing, things keep changing. Sometimes it's tougher to keep going and sometimes it's easier to keep going. But what keeps you hopeful on a day-to-day basis? What gives you the power to keep telling everyone about your story and about your identity?
There's a specific person in Dnipro who is Orthodox and Jewish. And from starting 2014, he went joined the Ukrainian army to fight against Russians. And he's Orthodox Jewish people, and that means that there's a lot of laws and limitation to your everyday tasks that would be simple for any other person. But he went there anyway. So he's Crimean and had to move to Dnipro since 2014. And since then, he's been fighting, and now his young son, who is of my age, 23 years old, is also fighting for our freedom. Both of them Orthodox Jewish people, pretty religious. Whenever I read their story, it really motivates me to keep on going because these people are ready to sacrifice their life for the country and for the values that I protect, you know, well, not in the army. And I think a lot of people who are helping, not on the front lines, sometimes feel like maybe what they're doing is not enough. And I'm also a victim of that. So hearing their story and their courage and their everyday struggles really motivate me to keep on going and to keep on pushing for this also Ukrainian Jewish identity, you know, that we're gonna survive, we'll survive this as well, and we'll win, and we'll keep on being Ukrainian Jewish in the way that we want it, on our terms. Not together with Russia, not with the Russian language, not with Russian culture, not anymore. There's no future for Ukrainian Jews if they want to go together with Ukraine, with the Russian culture. That's period.
When I hear words like that, and people and fellow Ukrainians who take control over who they are, over their stories, and find strength in fellow Ukrainians, this is something that motivates me on an everyday basis, every day. And luckily for me, I hear and see and watch those stories and those these instances of mutual support every day. And this is the most empowering thing. So thank you so much, Maria, for joining us today, for sharing your story, your personal path of decolonization, your personal path of taking back control of who you are, and also speaking out so powerfully and so beautifully and eloquently on behalf of Ukrainian Jewish community as well. So we're super grateful for your time and your stories today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so, so much for this amazing space. And I hope that my words were useful. Thank you so much.
For everyone else, thank you so much for joining and listening. If you're listening to this as a podcast, don't forget that it's very important when you leave a comment and you rate. We're now present on 10 plus platforms, and everywhere rating and comment is helpful to propel us in the ratings and algorithms. But such a massive thank you for our Patreon sponsors, and I see some of you listening today. Without you, these episodes would not be possible. And for those who are still not part of our beautiful, very engaged, very fastly growing Patreon family, I really encourage to check our Patreon page for all the bonus content that is there available. And you can find all the relevant links at ukrainianspaces.com. And I think I haven't forgotten about anything except our traditional Slava Ukraini.
Героям слава!